African leaders are meeting their European colleagues in Brussels in Belgium. The EU is Africa's largest trading partner, according to UN data, but Africa's trade with China is growing.
There is a concern, if you will, in EU, not just EU, but I think even in the US and others, that African countries are drifting slowly towards the east, particularly in trade.
Here in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, China's growing presence can't be missed. In the 1990s, this main road through the city was built by a German company. A new highway is now being built in its place by Chinese contractors funded by a Chinese loan. It was more than a century ago that European powers scrambled to colonise most of Africa. Here in Kenya, British colonialists built this as an administrative centre in 1913. But things have changed. It's now an art gallery and it's dwarfed by the new Chinese-built highway. And China is just one of the world powers who are today vying for influence and for Africa's resources. Russia held its first summit for Africa 3 years ago. President Vladimir Putin promised aid and trade deals without the conditions often demanded by the West. Between meetings, delegates were wooed with weapons at an arms fair. Russia's military presence in Africa is growing, as are its arms exports to the continent. So the EU wants the world to know it's still a major player. But economists say its terms of trade with Africa are unfair, profiting from cheap African raw materials while selling back services and manufactured goods.
Now, one of my criticisms of African governments is I don't think they're very clever at negotiating a common position. And I think that's why quite often they suffer, particularly with China, who wants to always negotiate one-to-one.
The EU's promised $170 million of investment, although it's not clear how it will be raised or spent. It's widely seen as an attempt to counter the Chinese infrastructure loans and projects, which critics say tolerate corruption and lure African governments into debt traps.
Part of the challenge for a long time has been the leadership, the corruption, the lack of integrity, the mismanagement of resources, and all those things have, money comes into the country through aid. That's why aid has not had significant impact in Africa.
The EU's now talking more about trade than aid and promising better terms. Malcolm Webb, Al Jazeera, Nairobi, Kenya.
Well, as we mentioned, COVID-19 vaccines and the pandemic are on the agenda at the meeting. For more on this, let's cross over to Fahmida Miller, who's in Johannesburg, South Africa. Fahmida, I mean, on Monday, the European Union issued sort of the latest refusal to waive vaccine patents. So one wonders how the continent can fight the pandemic when this is the result from the EU. The EU saying that they are or they aren't or they won't execute them to the frustration of the continent as a whole.
Well, and the continent continues to be frustrated. We've heard from South African President Cyril Ramaphosa, who is attending that summit. He has said he has called what's happened in terms of the delivery of vaccines to the African continent. He's called it vaccine apartheid. He's also said that we're not in a position to take crumbs from the European table, and now it's time for us to be self-sufficient. So India, as well as South Africa, have been at the forefront of fighting for this patent waiver. It isn't happening. And now, instead, countries like South Africa, with various partners, are trying to manufacture their own vaccines using publicly available information to basically recreate existing vaccines, very similar to the Moderna one. We've had the launch of a number of companies in South Africa in recent months. And while that's happened, it may still take some time before we see the actual production of vaccines by African companies in Africa and distributed across the continent. So far, just 5 countries across Africa have had about 30% or at least more than 30% of their population vaccinated. We've heard from the Africa CDC that there's very little information coming out of countries like Eritrea, where they don't even know if there's a vaccine rollout. But once these companies are up and running, one of the most recent, Afrigen, in Cape Town in South Africa, They'll be looking to recreate a vaccine distributed in Africa, but even then, they will only begin trials later this year and will then look at approvals the following year. So still a wait for many Africans and a sort of sustainable rollout of vaccines. And really due to the frustration with developed countries, rather, and their treatment of developing and poorer countries in terms of a vaccine rollout.
Fumita Milafor there in Johannesburg. Thanks very much. Well, another issue, of course, is security. And that's also going to be raised at the summit. Let's cross over to Assad Beg, who's in Senegal's capital, Dakar. And Assad, really, there are many democracies across the African continent, but there's also been just as many coups in recent months. So one wonders who will be the democratic partners in the EU, that the EU can actually work with, certainly across West Africa, for example.
Well, exactly. I'm standing in a country that is a democracy, Senegal. The other one is Benin. But you do raise a valid question that there have been a number of coups. There's been one in Mali, Burkina Faso and Guinea, an attempted coup in Guinea-Bissau. And if you go back even further, just the last few years, there's been around 7 coups or attempted coups, 6 of them in former French colonies. But there are those that believe that even in certain democracies, some of the leaders use the democratic structures to carry out undemocratic reforms. For example, Cote d'Ivoire, the president there, Alassane Ouattara, changed the constitution so he could stand for a third term. But also there's questions about whether France and Europe, whether democracy is a fundamental principle for them to carry out operations in the region. It seems that their main priority is security regionally and for Europe and to take on what they see as terrorists. But yes, it is a difficult situation. But France continued and the Europeans continued to work in Mali after the military coup in 2020. And French troops continue to operate in Burkina Faso, where there's also a military coup. But it does raise the question about security, because Mali was one of the fundamental places, one of the largest areas where they were carrying out the operations. And it does offer some real difficult challenges now for the French and Europeans.